It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on a feel-good summer Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yes, and our feel-good Friday on Boomer and Geo is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka sunshine in a can. That's right. We're coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio. I call Boomer sunshine in a shirt. That's what I call you, bringing
Thank
the sunshine.
You, brother. I appreciate it, man.
All the time on his feel-good Friday. So let's talk some football because
okay.
I love football, and there's not a lot of football going on. And CBS Sports wrote an article that piqued my interest, and they did a good job because there's not a lot of football going on. They threw out a topic that I was interested in, and it was a little bit of a negative topic. Sorry.
Oh, but God. It's a feel-good Friday, but we're going to go down a negative topic road. Okay, go ahead.
It's not that negative.
Go ahead.
It's fun to talk about. But 2025 NFL head coach hot seat rankings. Hot seat rankings.
Now, Mike Tomlin.
Okay, so this is what I was going to do. I want to see your five and see if your five match their five.
Okay.
And if you agree or not. So you put Tomlin on there. All right. So you got Tomlin on your five. Mike Tomlin.
Mike McDaniel,
number two. Okay. And you can rank these when you're done, if you'd like, because they have theirs ranked.
Okay.
So we got Tomlin, McDaniel. Hot seat rankings. Hot seat rankings.
Okay. Let's see. I don't believe any of the new coaches are on the hot seat just yet. So we have to go.
Boom, pause.
They're going to put Schottenheimer on there. That may he's a new coach, but I wouldn't put him on there.
No, don't. First year guy. There's no first year guys on here. But,
okay.
But these are yours. They're not theirs.
Oh,
these are
I
yours.
See. But you're trying to get me to.
I'm just curious to see if you agree with them without me telling you what it is and you going, I agree or disagree. I just want to see how it matches up. Just curious.
Okay.
Just curious, that's all.
Oh, let's see.
Well, you're missing
Where
a,
else?
You're missing a big one.
It's Brian Daboll.
There you go. Yep. You got three.
That's three.
Two more. And I'm not saying that you're matching each of these up. But
I would say Kevin Stefanski.
Stefanski. All right. So you need one more to see if they match up. These are the 2025 NFL coaches hot seat rankings.
And I will say.
I will. Boom, boom, bum, boom, ba, 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 boom, pause. Hot seat rankings. NFL head coach. Boom, pause. Hot seat rankings. One more. He's got four.
Jonathan Gannon.
Okay. So would you like to rank these one to five? Tomlin, McDaniel, Daboll, Stefanski, Gannon. Which one's on the hottest seat?
Daboll's one. McDaniel's two.
Two. You got Stefanski, Gannon, Tomlin.
Stefanski, three.
Okay.
Tomlin, four.
Okay.
And Gannon, five.
Okay. So, you match up with CBSSports.com on the first two. You've nailed the first two. Brian Daboll, number one on the hot seat. They also have a prediction of if they get fired or not. We could do that at the end if you'd like. So, Brian Daboll, number one on the hot seat. You also have Daboll, number one on the hot seat. Their prediction is fired.
I'm going to say not fired.
Okay. Number two, in lockstep, you and CBS Sports, like you are for many years. Mike McDaniel, number two of the Miami Dolphins. Their prediction, fired.
I agree.
Number three, you had Kevin Stefanski. CBS Sports says, right division, wrong team. Zach Taylor.
I don't think Zach Taylor's going anywhere.
Zach Taylor.
Yeah, because their defense is going to be really, really struggling this year. And but all those offensive players, and Joe Burrow seems to really like Zach Taylor. I was thinking about him, but I just think that I don't know what his contract status is. That would, if they have 3 years, if he has 3 years left on his contract.
The Bengals aren't doing that.
Nah, right.
All right, so their prediction for Zach Taylor is fired.
Oof. So that means they're not counting on the Bengals making the playoffs.
That is correct. So,
and I like Zach Taylor. I really do. I just think, you know, when you go to Cincinnati, they just don't fire people. You know, they held on to Marvin Lewis for 15 years.
Mm.
You know, Sam Weish was there for 7 years, and he kind of clumsily ended up walking out on them.
Yeah, clumsily is a good way of putting it. So number four, speaking of not firing coaches, you've got Mike Tomlin. I disagree. I don't think the Steelers would ever fire Mike Tomlin unless there was some sort of scandal that was going on. I think that he would either step away.
But is he on the list?
He's not on the list. And I don't.
So he's not a hot seat coach right now,
according to CBSSports.com. But I could see why. Like if you told me argue why Mike Tomlin is a hot seat coach, I could. But I don't believe that the Steelers would.
I'm telling you right now, if this whole thing with Aaron Rodgers doesn't at least get them to the playoffs,
yeah,
I believe that the Pittsburgh Steeler fan is going to blame Mike Tomlin.
Well, they have.
That's what, you know, and
but they have.
I know they
many
have.
Years.
I know they have, and I think that they've had enough.
But the fans aren't hiring the coach.
I know that, and the Steelers, much like the Bengals, are very patient, and they give their coaches, you know, they'll give them time, and they're not going to be swayed by the fan base. But I if they don't win this year, at least get to the playoffs, and Aaron plays good, and they look like they have an offense. I could just see, you know, the fan base being so incensed that they would have to do something.
So number four on the CBSSports.com list is Shane Steichen of the Indianapolis Colts.
Which is his third year now. And
yes.
And, well, you also remember, too, they lost their owner.
17-17 over the first 2 years.
Yeah, and they gave him Anthony Richardson. He didn't pick Anthony Richardson. Chris Ballard did.
Their prediction for Steichen?
Fired.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, a new owner, like, you know, his Jim Irsay's daughter is taking over now. So that could play into all of this.
Now, you had number five, Jonathan Gannon of the Cardinals. Their number five might be clickbait, and it worked. But I disagree. Their number five, Sean McDermott of the Bills. Hot seat. Hot seat guy, they're saying. Sean McDermott.
I would say this. That would be one of the dumbest moves ever made in the NFL.
Wow. Yeah. I feel maybe not as strongly. The Browns make a lot of dumb moves. That was probably the Deshaun Watson one, which is the dumbest move ever.
Yeah, and man, you know, and by the way, that Deshaun Watson move may end up costing the NFL a lot of money if this collusion case gets moved forward, because that was the impetus to all of it. And I told you that was going to reverberate around the NFL. And it certainly has, and it may end up turning out to really, really financially hurt the NFL.
Yeah. Not fired is their prediction, by the way. Not fired with Sean McDermott, but they do have him on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, like, all these coaches are on the hot seat, and they want to see how these teams play, and Sean McDermott is a terrific coach, and he's got a great quarterback, and they've played really, really well together. They go to the playoffs every year, you know, and it's not easy to win, you know. You are in the era of Joe Burrow, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I mean, think about the quarterbacks that you have to play against in your own conference.
Yeah, and the point that they're making is sort of like a Nick-like scenario. Where is this the guy to get us to the next level during our window?
But totally different when it comes to football and it comes to football systems and, you know, getting to know each other. I mean, I think that these guys are so good, just like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are so good together. And I would say the same thing for Mike Shanahan and Brock Purdy. Like, they all know each other so well that to try to rekindle that with somebody new, when you have these guys that have put up these huge numbers with these play callers and head coaches on the sideline, why in the F would you want to screw that up?
Yeah, I don't know, but they do predict that he's not fired, but they do have him on the hot seat.
And those teams I'm just talking about, the thing about those teams that I like is that I do believe that ownership, I hope, ownership wants to stay stable. Does not want to have to restart over again with a whole new coaching staff. You know, that's a pain in the ass.
Yes, it absolutely is.
It is the total, like the Jets do it every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's about every three.
And the Giants too, for that matter.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's been really remarkable, the turnover that we've had here with those
two things. I will say this, now we're talking about football here for a second.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like both the Jets and the Giants are really, really competitive in practice. And that, I do love that.
Okay.
I do love that. That's a big thing. And it's going to be a reoccurring theme, especially for the Jets, because the Jets are going to try to ramp, you know, he's got a year to ramp it up. You know what I mean? Like, he can get away with losing some games this year. But as long as his team is tougher, more competitive, and is going to be, you know, is going to be turning into an edgier team, a more competitive team, I think, you know, certainly that will show progress from the Jet fan perspective.
All right, let's get some calls at 888-808-1019 on this Feel Good Football Friday. Up to Connecticut we go to talk to Jason. Jason's on the fan. What's going on, man?
Boomer Geo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jason.
How we doing? Welcome. Thanks for welcoming me back, Geo. If you remember, I'm the guy that shushed your wife at Boomer and Geo Live.
That's right. Thanks for welcoming me back. Oh, you're the shush guy.
I'm the shusher.
Yeah, she deserved it.
So I got a story. Yeah. So a similar story to the other caller. 8 days before my wedding 2 years ago, it's raining and raining and raining. I have a flood in my basement with all my wedding stuff. So me and my wife for 2 days, bail out the basement, treading water. Sunday, I have a softball game. She begs me not to play. Something's going to happen. You're going to get a bad hop shiner off the eye. Well, I sneak out at 8 a.m. to play. Having the doubleheader of my life, my last at bat, I beat the outfielder deep, 6 for 7. I'm the bump. I'm about to go 2-0, and I'm trotting it to second base, and pop. Ugh. And the leg goes. So, you know, gee, I agree with you. A reason to never play softball again. But yeah, Let's just say that phone call to her after the game was a rough one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest I told you so moments probably of your life. And thanks, Jason, for checking in. That's a horrible story. And you probably had to have the walking boot on, going down the aisle, and all your pictures of you with a sort of apparatus on your leg. It sucks.
It sucks, you know. And I had two injuries playing softball here at WFAN. One was the plantar fasciitis that happened up at Larchmont when we were playing against Sleepy Hollow, I should say, Rob Manfred's team. And the other one, we were playing the MSG squad. Remember, Al, when we used to be on MSG, we played their team over at a place off the FDR Drive over there. And I remember I was running down the first base, and I pulled my calf muscle.
Ooh, calf.
And I what do I immediately think?
Achilles.
Yeah, I'm not running anymore.
Yeah.
And basically had to shut it down from running for over a year just because of that calf injury.
Yeah, I've shut down running for the rest of my life,
yeah,
actually.
I can see that.
I've shut that down completely. It's the fear of injury. I mean, so Gina does these Pure Bar classes, and she had an arm thing going on.
Yep.
Overuse of the arm.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was like, this is why you can't work out. You know, you're sitting there over there icing your arm. I am as limber as possible. I got all my tendons intact. All my muscles aren't pulled. Knocking on wood. I don't do anything.
Yeah.
I live in my life like a veal.
Did you ever pull a groin muscle?
No, I have not done that. I have not pulled a groin.
Right.
Groin hurts? You've pulled a groin?
No.
Never pulled a groin?
Nope.
Yeah, I know we've done this many times before, but every time I hear groin, I think of Al Dukes not knowing exactly what it is. And if women have groins, and where is the groin muscle, and do you pull it? If you pull it, do you pull in your ball sack, all those things. It's just, that's what I hear now. It just pops in my head that he still doesn't understand where a groin is on a man or a woman. Could you point to the groin of a woman? Yes.
Thing that's been bothering him lately, though, has been his sweaty balls.
Yeah, sticking to the side of his leg.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, there's chafing and there's balls sticking to the leg in this type of heat and this type of, you know, summertime.
Yeah, but today's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, today's great. And yesterday was nice. But when you had those record temperatures, your ball sack is prone to stick to your leg with the improper underwear. Now, my Shinesty ball hammock pouch underwear, my balls are in a pouch.
Yeah, that's why you have them.
So they're not sticking to my leg.
And that's, you should get Al.
I like sweaty balls.
Okay.
You know, the Shinesty's got like the funny...
printed.
Yeah, prints on it.
Yeah.
So the last one they sent me,
yeah,
there's like a, it's like a hero sandwich that goes right where the Schwanz is. So when you put it on,
yeah,
you got like a sandwich penis.
What happens when you get excited?
It gets toasted, I guess.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Oh, man. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's funny because, like, we're not edgy at all. You know, occasionally you might get close to the line, but it's not like we're 90s Howard Stern. But compared to our friends up there with Karen Carson, with NEW,
yes,
we are that, right? Like, because they are so unbelievably tame. So we like talking to them. They like talking to us. So they said, can you call in live in the break and talk about Johnny Minjone on the phone? He's going up to Boston. He's a Yankee fan. He's going to a Red Sox Blue Jays game. Should he wear a...
And he's taking his fiance on a nice weekend trip up there.
So, like the things we say, they're like completely shocked by, you know, because they're so... So Boomer goes, put on the Yankee jersey. Don't be a puss.
Yeah, like, I said, wear a Damon jersey, a Jeter jersey, a Roger Clemens jersey. Wear one of those jerseys. So, see, you know, the Red Sox fan loves that. They love to see that in their building.
Yeah. And then I'm like, this is paint yourself in pinstripes. Go to the top of the Green Monster. Jump off of it. You like going viral. You'll go viral, but then you'll be paralyzed. And they're like,
Oh, but I did give him a good tip. You got to go to Abe and Louis. Take his fiance to Abe and Louis. They'll have a great time. And then they can go over to the North End and pick any one of like 20 great Italian restaurants.
Oh, absolutely.
Great shopping on Beacon Street and everything. I don't know how much money he makes. I mean, you know, I don't want him to show up in cargo shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he probably will. But yeah, and then you said, hey, you know, put your fiance in a Yankee jersey and buy her some stuff in Abe and Louis and maybe you'll actually get lucky.
Yes.
So there you go. Any more?
I think all good advice, by the way.
Yeah, no, except mine of jumping off the Green Monster. But yeah, everything else that you gave.
Hey, who's the jackass who jumped off the Green Monster? That would go viral.
Absolutely.
100%.
It'd be huge. I mean, do you think he'd die if he did that?
It's pretty high. Was it like 40 feet high?
37 rings a bell for some reason.
Eddie?
Good chance, yes.
That he would die.
37 feet, 2 inches.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, he definitely, like, if he landed on his head, he would die.
Yep.
If he landed on his legs, he might be, paraplegic spot probably, but maybe not dead.
I will say that, you know, I've been to both, obviously. Have you been to Fenway?
Many years ago.
Okay, yes. So you've been to Fenway. Have you been to Wrigley Field?
No.
Yeah, so I've been to both Fenway and Wrigley, and I mean, they're great.
Play Augusta?
But I'm just telling you, they're great, especially where they're located within their cities and all the things that are going on around those stadiums. And even though they're old and they've been refurbished, they do have that old-time baseball feel to it, and it's great watching a game there.
All right, CeeLo. Let's hear the update.
All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Heavy lifting done by the Met bullpen last night after Griffin Canning departed with 2 outs in the third, presumably with this what looked like a major Achilles injury. The pen got it done rest of the way, but we'll highlight Daniel Nunez, who pitched the sixth and seventh innings with the game sitting at 2-0 in favor of the Mets.
2-2 pitch. Got him swinging up and in, 96. Nunez ends his night striking out 4 batters in a row, and you could see with that electric reaction how pumped up he is.
Like, where are they finding these guys?
Well, we at least, you know, saw him do this last year. But yeah, some of these other guys, they're running out there, you know?
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's David Stearns, right? Pitching lab?
Yeah, I also
Jeremy Hefner?
Yeah, the phones are burning. You know, things are going, guys are going back and forth to Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the bus. You think they set him on a bus?
No, I would hope not.
Hello. Feel good Friday.
I think they make a drive up there.
Yeah.
Eddie brings up a interesting question. How many people here, and now Eddie obviously knows the answer to this, but how many people here know why it is called the Achilles tendon or Achilles heel? Without looking it up.
No, I was looking up how long it was, Citi Field to Syracuse.
It has something to do with Achilles. In Greek mythology.
Yes, that is true. That much I know. It's like it was Achilles was supposed to be like delivering things quickly, right? That was his whole deal. And then
No.
And
he was a great warrior.
What?
He was a what? I thought he was a great warrior, a hero.
I thought he like he was so fast. I thought he was fast.
You know, out of the Flash.
I thought he delivered. He was like,
true story.
Hermes or Mercury, you're thinking of.
Okay.
They were gods.
Hermes.
All right.
Him
okay.
coming on with the no was as close as your impression. No. Yeah, him sounding like the impression.
So, so mythology, Achilles, I don't know after that. I don't. I hand up. I don't know. Is anybody else? No?
No.
No? Eddie?
Well, because his mother dipped him in the river Styx to protect him, but she had to hold him by the heel.
Ah.
And that was his Achilles heel, the vulnerable point, and that's why they call it, that tendon is called the Achilles tendon.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm. His mother dipped him in the river.
The river Styx.
The river Styx. Dip you in the river Styx.
Oh, boy.
That's obviously, not real life, right? That didn't actually happen.
Yeah, just like the Bible, just a story.
Alley-oop.
Punk.
Were you tuned into the warm-up show when he was breaking down for Al and I donkey mating?
No.
That was interesting. Yeah.
You guys were talking about donkey
horses,
mating.
Donkeys, and
like the sterile offspring of a donkey and a horse.
Yeah,
mule.
Yeah, how when the mule and the mule get together, nothing happens.
And that horses were here, and then they went extinct here, and then the Spanish brought them back.
Yeah,
and the indigenous peoples then used them to hunt buffalo.
Wait, so a mule can't bang another mule?
Well,
they can.
They can, but not. There's nothing. No, procreating that would come from that.
Why? There's the female.
It's a sterile offspring. That sometimes happens when you cross species.
Oh, okay.
Got that?
So these mules are shooting blanks? Is what you're telling me?
Yes.
Interesting.
Learn something new every day with Eddie around, you know?
So how are
that next year?
So the only way you can make a mule is to...
Horse and the donkey, right, Eddie? Or did
Correct.
I?
Correct.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
See, I learned.
Did you know that, Boomer? That mules can't make other mules?
I'm not a smart man.
You know, it's kind of interesting that I think Eddie actually spoke about this many, many years ago.
I'm sure he did.
And I think it's something around, I want to say, the Kentucky Derby.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know, okay, the horse breeding, a lot going on there. So.
Yes.
All right. Well,
how are you doing?
Do you ever see two animals getting it on like that, like in the flesh?
No.
Have you ever seen?
I saw two turtles.
Have you ever seen a horse inseminated? I have.
I have not seen a horse inseminated. No.
That is unbelievable.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Turkey baster.
No.
Oh.
No.
How does it happen?
Well, there's...
A syringe horse. Or something?
No. No, it's a big sleeve on an arm.
Come on.
Yeah?
Someone's going to stick...
Remember when I had... I got my pony when I was a kid?
Were you inseminating? That's something you're telling us for the first time?
No. I do believe that the pony came from a horse that was inseminated the year before.
Okay.
And I was there to see the insemination. I wasn't supposed to get the pony until my mother died. And it was,
Fester.
Yeah. Come on.
Is that the former pitcher, Doug Fister? Is that what that's from? I think it was Doug. I've forgotten now.
There you go. There's me and the pony.
Jeez.
This is one of those
that is
stranger than fiction type of thing.
That is 1968.
Damn.
You had a pony.
And you maybe 1969. It could be 1969.
I mean, think about how much great sport you saw from that moment on. Right?
Yeah.
The Mets and the Knicks. I mean, geez, the Jets.
Jets, man.
So you have to remember that was a moment where I had just lost my mom. Hmm. And my dad figured that maybe a companion, like a pony, was gonna help me come out of whatever I was dealing with.
How long did you have that pony for?
I want to say about a year.
Oh, man.
I'm afraid to ask what happened to it.
No, I think we gave it to a local farm on
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Pony's name was Rusty.
Rusty Pfister was its full name.
I mean, so here I am 8 years old, man, and I'm just like seeing this crap.
Yeah.
Like, this is what happens when you're up on a farm up in Granville, New York.
Eddie said you were even wearing red hats back then.
I was the first guy with a red hat.
Just missing the writing on the top.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
All right.
The Mets won 4-0. They beat the Braves, which is great. Pete Alonso, 3 hits. He knocked in a run. He had a double. Jeff McNeil, 2-run single in the 7th to provide some insurance. Back to that bullpen, which is where we started before we went off the rails. Austin Warren was the first man up after Griffin Canning went down, and he did the job as well.
I'm just glad I filled it up. Defense made some plays behind me, had a few punch outs, and yeah, it worked out.
But they lose Canning, likely for the remainder of the season, pending an MRI to confirm. Latest hit to the rotation for Carlos Mendoza.
We lost 2 starters, you know, very quickly with Senga and McGill. And here we are now with Griff going down. We got some reinforcements coming back. Guys will step up.
Montas already back. Hopefully Manaea, as long as there are no more loose bodies in that elbow of his. And then maybe Senga not too long after that. But for the time being, they have stabilized things. They're back in first place and still 10 up on the Braves.
We just got to stick together. Got to take it one day at a time. Don't look too far ahead. Whatever's in the past is in the past. Today's the most important day.
And today, they're heading off to Pittsburgh, or actually they're already there for the first of three with the last place Pirates. It's a 6:40 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. David Peterson and Mitch Keller are the starters. Mark Vientos set to return from the IL and his hamstring injury. All right, Boomer, you asked for Pete Alonso commenting on his throwing woes with Evan and Tiki here on The Fan yesterday, and he pretty much was breaking them down one by one, and we'll begin here.
The one in New York, I mean, I just zoot it, you know, and sometimes it happens. I probably watched like every angle, like in slow motion. I'm like, yeah, my feet were set, my arm angle was good, and then I just zoot it.
Now that's a term in all my years of playing and watching baseball, I never heard. Zoot it.
Yeah. I've never heard of it either. No one asked what does zoot it mean.
They may have. I listened to this clip that was, I don't know, maybe 90 seconds or so of him breaking it all down. I didn't hear any follow-up on that, but maybe we could just Google
he
that.
He went through all the bad throws he's had.
Well, 3 of them. So New York, and then next.
The one to Stanek, I think for me, I could have done a little bit better job of setting my feet. I didn't set my feet there. It's like, okay, that one, it's like, okay, could have set my feet.
And lastly, the one that caused the Kodai Senga injury, or well, maybe not caused, but led to.
Senga, that was a tough play in the hole, and I just had to get it to him. He's an athletic guy. So I'm like, okay, get the ball to like his chest area, and then he made a hell of a play. But I think, yeah, it's just a matter about sticking to it, sticking to the routines, even though things didn't go right.
So he's really put a lot of thought into this. He's breaking down the film, breaking down the tape. He's
outlining
each one.
That's what I'm talking about. We were talking about all of this. Just get out there and keep working on it and keep throwing balls over to first base.
Yeah.
Have somebody over there, have a ball boy or somebody over there just, you know, running in there, and you just keep throwing it from all the different angles and all the different places around your base to make you a little bit more confident when you do throw it.
Ball boy sounds good. No one on the active roster. We don't need any more injuries. You know?
Let's go to Dan in West Orange. Dan, what's happening?
What's up, boys? Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday, man. Hope everything's going well with you.
It's going real well. That's I'm sitting good. In my office right now seeing patients, but I got to tell you a funny story. I went to medical school in the Caribbean, and there's a food called oil down. I don't know if you ever heard of this before.
No.
But it's basically they just put a bunch of crap into a pot, and you eat it. So one day I'm there, I'm trying to get through medical school, and I'm eating a piece of sausage that looked like a piece of sausage. But when we were leaving, they told us that it was a donkey penis. And it was amazing.
Wow.
It was amazing?
You thought the donkey penis was amazing.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Stop it. You didn't like immediately puke when you found out you ate a donkey penis?
No, I did. I did puke. I'm going to be honest with you. But I said to myself, I'm like, this is my life. I'm going to live it, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I enjoyed the time.
By the way, what kind of doctor are you?
I'm a gynecologist.
Come on.
No, I swear.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I have patients sitting in rooms right now. I got to go see. I love you guys. Good. You guys are killing it. And enjoy your day, guys. Have a good Friday. I'm going to Asbury Park, Al. I'm going to see you there this weekend. Go to Asbury.
We'll grab some donkey penis.
That's a fine. Special.
Get out of the same truck, you get the funnel cake. deep fried donkey penis.
I'm picturing his patients. If they only knew, as they're waiting there for him to come and do what he's got to do.
Right.
That he just placed a phone call to you guys to explain that he wants 8 donkey penis.
It goes to show you how many people are listening
and all the
different subject matter that we can bring to the forefront.
That's not the most alarming thing if you're a patient. The most alarming thing if you're a patient is that he went to medical school in the Caribbean.
When he said that, I was like, what?
Then I'd be like, what?
Maybe he's done further studies here in the States since the Caribbean. I don't know.
Oh, he's studying right now, that's for sure.
God. Oh, that's tremendous. All right, Yankees and A's tonight in the Bronx. Will Warren and Mitch Spence, pregame 6:25 here on The Fan. Yanks begin the night a half game clear of the Rays atop the AL East. Real quick, just before we run out of time, we did mention last hour NHL draft begins tonight. Islanders, of course, with the top pick. Boomer, we mentioned perhaps the Rangers may make some moves, and maybe Keandre Miller gets traded, not entirely sure. Michael Pekka, who was on the Rangers staff with Peter Laviolette last couple of years, he's now with the Blackhawks. He went on with Johnny Lazaris, Morning Cup of Hockey, I should say, which is a popular hockey podcast. So just to kind of put to bed this past season for the Rangers. Now, we've heard stories, we've read stories. Sources,
everybody's so emotional. A lot of drama.
So here's the assistant coach from the team basically outlining and admitting and confirming what we've come to believe about this past season and the Rangers.
Now, there was a lot of stuff outside of the locker room, outside of the coach's room, that players in the organization was dealing with that did seep into the locker room, and which made it tough because now we're trying to clean up the debris and get guys to, hey, listen, just don't worry about it, whatever the emotional they're dealing with.
Debris and emotional bleep.
Well, I mean, again, remember, so you had the whole Jacob Trouba thing.
Yeah, last summer.
And you had the
summer.
Barkley Goodrow thing also all right summer. Back to back. Those two things back to back were those players, in the eyes of the players that were in that locker room, basically got shivved in the back.
Yes.
And they were probably shivved in the back due in large part to, you know, social media posts, a lot of fan base angst around certain players. And then, of course, the salary cap and having to pay Igor Shesterkin.
Yes, and just the last part of this before I go. So that was last summer, bleeding into the early stages of last season, where they actually got off to a good start, largely in part to the play their goaltenders were playing, but never able to get it back on track.
And a lot of teams deal with stuff. I'm not saying that we're the only team in the league that dealt with stuff. Teams deal with stuff as a coaching staff. It just seemed like we got a little distracted having to deal with this and manage emotions now and do all these different things.
Right, is that emotions word again?
So. Yeah, and then, of course, then you bring in a strong guy like JT Miller, and then how does that change the dynamic of the locker room?
So he performed well, but...
Yeah, I know he did, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you want some sort of coming together as a team and not being splintered for different reasons and holding different things against different people. And I'm sure Chris Drury was not very popular in that locker room.
Well, some pieces are gone. Peck is on to new things. You got new coaching staff in here. We'll see what comes of draft weekend, which begins tonight, and then free agency coming up next week.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Man, I love that American flag on the GW Bridge, man. See that on CBS Sports Network? That thing is awesome.
Yeah, generally you have a lot of time to look at it when you're on the GW Bridge.
You do, man. That is a beautiful flag.
Yeah, that is awesome. And props to CBS Sports Network for...
I don't think anybody can rip that down.
No.
Some jackass ripping down flags yesterday.
Jackasses out there. Jackassery. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Why do you think that the Diddy trial isn't more talked about? Because you've got an A-list celebrity whose the closing arguments happened yesterday.
Subject matter.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think it's a really nasty subject matter.
But, like, I feel like... I
mean, people talk about it, but they don't really get... I mean, like, we know about the baby oil. We know about the freak-offs. We know about all this other... these are... could be talking about this stuff.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, but and the baby oil stuff, it's incredible how much of that was seized But I also thought maybe cameras in the courtroom. There's no cameras in the courtroom. It's all like court sketches.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I'm subject matter, like we don't, like who's.
Maybe the defense won some sort of battle to keep the cameras out of the courtroom.
Yeah, maybe.
And this is a criminal trial. This is not a civil trial.
I know.
And after this is over, you guarantee that there's going to be civil trials.
Yeah, it's just like, obviously OJ was a thing to itself, and it was murder, and it was his wife and everything else.
Then he lost the civil trial, but never paid a damn cent.
Right, but that was, you know, usually when an A-list celebrity is involved in something like this, like it's like the trial would be every, like Karen Reed, for God's sakes, no one knew who she was. That trial was all over the place. The cameras in the courtroom.
Yeah.
But Diddy, it's like, I guess because it's not a murder. It was a murder we'd care more. I mean, it's still some really horrible stuff, not to rank felonies here, but I mean, some really horrible stuff.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that there was a large faction of people that were on Karen Reed's side and thought that she was getting railroaded.
True.
I mean, I don't see anybody coming out and supporting Diddy in this at all.
Yeah, you know, that's another good point. So I think I've gotten the answer. I think we've got our reasons. One, there's no argument. Like with OJ, you had people who actually believed he was innocent at the time, and you had the people who knew he was guilty. And with Karen Reed, there was a question. Did she do it? Did she not do it? People on both sides. Diddy, there's no conversation. No cameras, just court sketches. And it's not a murder. It's like touchy sexual weirdo stuff.
Sexual misconduct, harassment.
Yeah, those things. Yeah, but it's still an A-list guy. He's got to go to jail for the rest of his life.
And nobody's fighting for him. Nobody is out in, unless there are people out in front of the court, you know, fighting for him. I don't know. Or protesting on his behalf. I don't necessarily see any of that, but I don't think there's anybody that's really sticking their head out saying, oh, you know, yeah, he's got to be innocent of all this.
Yeah, nobody. You know, I was celebrating how I got the final Jeopardy and none of the contestants did last night, but I also felt really kind of not smart prior to that because when I was listening to the Diddy thing on the news, they mentioned how racketeering is the big thing. Like, I've obviously heard racketeering before. I couldn't explain to you, like, if someone said, what's racketeering, I couldn't do it.
I've heard a lot about that, you know, especially when it involved the mob.
The mob, yeah, but I couldn't tell you, like, if someone's like, what?
Rico, what about Rico statute?
Yeah, I've heard that too, Rico, yeah. But I couldn't explain it to you. Like, if someone's like, all right, if they're going to get them on racketeering.
Over different state lines.
But right? That's a different word, isn't it? Isn't that, I don't know. Could you explain racketeering? I can't.
No. I remember looking it up once when I heard it, and I don't remember it.
See, this is a true test of Eddie here. Eddie?
I believe it's sort of controlling a market or a service, so you really have no choice. I believe. I'm not 100%.
No. Sure. It's organized crime is basically
yes,
what it is.
Yeah, right. But that's,
it's an organized crime. You know, that involves all the illegal activities.
Yeah, I think it's like if they're selling protection to you, that sort of thing. That's what I would guess.
Or they're selling drugs or using illicit drugs or illegal drugs, passing drugs around.
Yeah, an AI says it's often conducted by a criminal enterprise for financial gain.
So this could be Diddy's, you know, criminal enterprise.
Yeah. Involves a combination of illegal acts like extortion, fraud, bribery, or threats.
Well, you know what I don't understand? Since now we're on to these trials and things of that nature.
Sure, let's do it.
So we were talking about, we have spoken about the Epstein trial and, you know, when are we going to get all the details on that? And it's kind of disappeared for whatever reason.
I know exactly what you're going to ask without you saying it.
Yeah, have we talked about this off the air?
I don't think so.
Is that why?
I don't think so.
I'm just going to say what I would do if I were in one of those seats of power that is able to extract the information that's already been extracted. There's another way to even get more information, I think.
Go to Ghislaine Maxwell.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say. Where's Ghislaine Maxwell?
She's in jail.
Yeah.
Why don't you go in there and talk to her? And find out really what the hell went on and see if she will cop to anything, which I don't know what her final, I think it was a 20-year sentence.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure.
And get information from her and let her out. I'm saying that she's innocent of anything.
Yeah, but if you really want to go after some other people and the big names and everything else, just have her
right
sing and then
and was it, you know, I really want to know about that just only because I'd really, really like to know who was behind it all. Not just Jeffrey Epstein. There's somebody or something or some entity behind all of it.
Did they get her on racketeering?
They probably did.
Did they get her on RICO? Now RICO, now I got to look up RICO.
What about money laundering?
Yeah, that I know. That's
like if I had fake $100 bills.
That's counterfeit money. That's different. Money laundering is like you get cash through a business that doesn't really matter, and then you don't pay taxes on it. You only not full taxes on it. You know, basically, like if you need a place to get your cash, put your cash that you got from illegal activities.
So I sell drugs.
Yeah,
but I have
lots of money.
But like, I have a laundry place.
It's not money laundering.
No. I just randomly picked that. I didn't mean laundry and money laundering. Okay. But I have like a laundromat.
Yeah. Yep.
And I use the money from my illegal drug selling.
You push it through the laundromat and act as if you're getting the money from the customers of the laundromat. And so then it looks like you're doing something legitimate when you're not. That's money laundering. So that's when you see like a store that should never exist. How do they make money? Laundering spot. That's what it is.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start saying that. Because now I always say that must just be some rich person's hobby. Like a store like that. Now I'm going to say that's money laundering.
Money laundering spot. Has to be. Absolutely. What do you
the
got?
The amazing thing that came out of the Epstein files already is that all of these other civil trials are going after the Epstein estate and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, you have this witness that was up close and personal to all of it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you pull her in if you're, I guess, Pam Bondi, I guess?
Yeah, it's a good question.